So I'll direct you again to Leviticus 23. And very particularly on the 24th verse. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. We need to form a context around this briefly for us to be able to go deeper into the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. For those who have been following us, we have been going through the book of Leviticus 23, and we've been telling you that Leviticus 23 is a gospel chapter. Full of rich and wholesome truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so sadly we often miss this. But God declared His gospel throughout the whole Old Testament. And sadly, the majority of the children of Israel also missed it. And this is so sad, because the festivals that they took part of are still going on today. And even when they were taking part of these festivals, so very few people understood what it meant. And it's like that today. There's so much rejoicing and so much joy. There's so much religion. So many churches. And many of them have the same motto. That God is good all the time, and that if we do our best, try hard, pray to Him, and sing, and have services, that is going to be okay with us. And it won't be. It won't be. That's not the reason why we come together. But it was much like that then too. There was so much excitement when they came up to Jerusalem. And so many people came together. And we find that in the New Testament. It's not for nothing that it's very clearly stated that Jesus, it says when it's recorded that Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and then so often at a festival. That's when he went up. And why did he do that? When there was the Feast of Tabernacles or the Passover or whatever festival may have taken place, he went up. Maybe you've read it like, oh, that's a coincidence. But it wasn't. Do you know why he did that? To teach them that he was going to fulfill all of these festivals. What does he say when they have the feast of when they are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles? He stands in awe and in wonder. Because they are bringing water from the river of David. And they were taking palm branches and willow branches, and they are singing songs, and they are taking the pitcher of water, mixing it with wine, and putting it on top of the altar. God had called them to do that. That was part of the feast. But he was telling them the gospel. And they had no respect to him. That he was going to fulfill what they were doing. And he stands there in awe. And in wonder. And it says very clearly, on the last day of the feast, it's as though the Lord Jesus can no longer contain himself. And he stands up in the temple as he sees the water jug being brought to the altar. And all this worship and singing. And he cries out with a loud voice, "Whoever is thirsty, come unto me and I will give him living waters." They looked at him. Who is this man? They knew who he was, but they didn't see him as the living water, that he was able to give living waters. The Lord Jesus says this: if you drink this living water, it will flow out of your belly. He meant the Holy Spirit. And the people didn't understand. And that's and we will get to that on the Feast of the Tabernacles. But Leviticus 23 is a complete picture of the plan of salvation that would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And today we are going to talk about the memorial of the trumpet blowing. The first of the seven. We know, because we've been going through this. Was the Sabbath. The second one was the Passover. The third one was the sheaf of the first fruits. Fourth one was Pentecost. And the fifth one is the blowing of the trumpets. The sixth is the Day of Atonement. And the seventh is the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they are perfectly in order. What is the Sabbath signify? Rest. They would come out of Egypt to the land of Canaan for rest. That's the picture. So they were every seventh day they were to rest on the Sabbath. The second one was the Passover. So that they knew where the rest would be found. You know, we explained this all, that the angel would pass over their house if there was blood on the doorpost. Papa, what does all this mean? The children would say, when they were celebrating these feasts, Papa, what does all this mean? They could say this, the Lord promised us rest. Then he showed us that the only way to get to find this rest is that there's blood on the doorpost. And he told the whole story about the Passover. Papa, tell me more. Tell me more. Are you like that? Do you want to know more? If you are saved by grace, you will begin to long after the knowledge of all of these festivals. They're not active in its literal form today. But they are active in faith in Christ. Do you want to know more? If you are saved by grace, then the angel of death has passed over you. Because there's a lamb that was slain, and blood on the doorpost. Doorpost of your heart. Then they had to celebrate the festival of the first sheaves. Papa, what does that mean? Tell me. Oh, they would say this. We were brought into the land of Canaan, and we were promised a land flowing with milk and honey. Fields that we didn't plant. This is the gift. And we had to take the first sheaves of the field. The priest would wave them before the Lord. You see? Well, we've gone through this, we must go quick. Do you know where this happened? See, Jesus Christ came to this earth to give a soul rest. Then he was crucified. The lamb was slain to make this possible, so that you can go free. What's going to happen then? Papa, tell us what it means. The fruits of salvation that we didn't plant. The grain that came up. Because God gave the planting and the watering, so that we could take the first ones and wave them before the Lord. This is the fruits of you. The fruits of salvation is not found in us. It's found in the suffering, dying, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they waved the sheep before the Lord, then they were allowed to make a full harvest. Gather into the barns. You remember? And what did they have to do? You leave the corner of your field. That was the command. Why? Because the fruits will go, because those who were poor would be able to take of the corners of the land for themselves. Why? Because the gospel will go out to the four corners of the world. And all who are poor and needy will be able to benefit from the fruits of Christ. You understand now? Who did this? Taking handfuls.
seen in the fields of free and sovereign grace.
And Boaz
said, make sure, Pastor, you and that handful's drop. So she may be filled.
Do you remember this?
And after this, tell us more. What about the fourth one? The Feast of the Pentecost. We spent time on this last week. When we said this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because you can know about the fruits of Christ, the fruits of peace, the fruits of love and joy, the fruits of salvation, but you can't do a thing with them unless they are blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They need to be incubated by the Holy Spirit in your soul. It is expedient that I go. If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. Tarry in Jerusalem till ye be endowed with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is how many days? The word Pentecost means 50 days. 40 days after the Lord Jesus was risen, he ascended. Pentecost. You remember? You shall count 7 weeks. From the day of the Passover. 7 weeks times 7 days. And the day after, on day 50, you shall celebrate the Feast of the Pentecost. And we say, and the children said then, Father, what does this mean? And only very few could tell the true meaning of it. They came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Pentecost. And what happened? They were diligent. But suddenly a mighty rushing wind happened. Cloven tongues of fire on the apostles. People, don't you understand? No. They came rushing. What is happening? Why didn't they understand? Because they didn't understand the feast of the Sabbath and Passover and the first sheaves. And they said, what is happening? What is taking place here? They didn't want to know the truth. So many said, these men are drunk. And they went back to the temple to continue their feasting. But some people said, tell us, we need to know more. And that's where we are. That's where we've come now. Because the Lord said, on the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall be a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. Do you see where we're going? Do you know it? If you have been following,
And you see in the New Testament everything wondrously fulfilled in Christ. Then our children may ask us, Papa, what does it, the blowing of the trumpets mean? Well, come with me. We know that there was cloven tongues of fire. We know that the men, after being convicted, cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? We know that 3,000 on one day came to faith. We know that the promised comforter was poured out. And they received the Holy Spirit, all fulfilled in Christ. Is that it? Is it finished? Is it done? Oh no! Or we wouldn't be here. What's next? Lord, in your glorious plan, what's next? The Lord says, go to Leviticus 23, I will tell you the next festival. We have Peter, the apostles, in Jerusalem, and the church in Jerusalem is a very large church. They are coming together, daily breaking bread from house to house, encouraging the brothers and sisters in faith. The majority of Israel continued on with their life. But the first church began in Jerusalem. Now you may think that's the first Christian church. It's not. It's not the first Christian church. They came together and they became a mother church, but they were not called Christians. But what's next? Is that the end of the story? No! Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God, God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the tremble and the pleasant harp and the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast. You may now read Psalm 81 much differently. This is the psalm they sang on the feast. What's next? Do you sing this song in your heart? What did the Lord Jesus say? In Matthew 28. Go ye therefore unto all nations, declaring the gospel. Whosoever shall believe and be baptized shall be saved. Oh, the glorious commission that you are receiving yet today is the blowing of the trumpets. It's the gospel, the blowing of the gospel trumpet to all nations. And it's very tightly connected to the feast of The atonement. The feast of the blowing of the trumpet is connected to the Feast of Atonement 10 days later. And we will explain that. And we will, especially next week, we will look more at the Feast of Atonement. But the blowing of the trumpet is, it cannot be disconnected from the Feast of the Atonement. Why? Why? Because I cannot blow a trumpet, the gospel trumpet to you. If I don't tell you of the atonement, for the atonement is the gospel. What does the trumpet do? It blows. And when it makes a noise, the people must know what it means. Has the gospel trumpet entered into your heart? Because if the trumpet is being blown and you don't know the sound, you will sow confusion. Imagine that they were, the trumpet was blown to come to prepare for battle, and the people came, and the trumpet was blowing to move forward, and some people went this way and they went up that way, and there was all confusion. And the trumpet was blown to fight, and they did something else. The army would have no purpose. And that's what the trumpet means. But the blowing of the gospel trumpet has a very distinct sound. It is a call to repentance and believe the gospel. And we are blowing the trumpet to you today. If you are still without grace, and you are still on your own account, and the blowing of the trumpet of the gospel has not entered into your heart, there is trouble. And I want to bring you deeper into what that sound sounds like. Because most preachers do not blow the clear sound of the gospel. But be drawn in God's word to the clear, distinct blowing of the gospel. This is what happened. They were gathered in Jerusalem. And you know what happened? What had to take place for this, the blowing of the gospel to spread?
Persecution.
You can read that in Acts. Persecution. And it says, because there was persecution and Saul breathing out threatenings, the apostles were scattered abroad. You know why? Because they too still struggled with the fact that it was for Israel. But they were pushed out by persecution. And they went into new villages, and especially amongst the Gentiles, and blew the trumpet of the gospel. What were they blowing? What gospel were they presenting? What was the trumpet sound? Have you heard that trumpet sound in your heart? What did they have to remember here? When they, if we say that the, if we know that the festival of the pen, of the Passover was directed to the angel that passed over, and they said, Papa, tell me, what does this mean? Then when these trumpets were blown, and they also asked, Papa, what does this mean? Father, tell me, what does this mean? Where do you think the Father would draw them back to? Listen to this verse. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. What's taking place there? It's the giving of the law. Let's read it together. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Why? They were afraid. They were terrified. Why? Why were they so terrified? You see, this is a point where most gospel preachers will never enter into. They want to say God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. But have you been brought back to the mountain where the trumpet of God was blowing? That's the gospel trumpet. Have you heard the gospel trumpet of the law? Because that's where you come. When your heart is aroused. And when you're convicted that you're a sinner. And that you are hopeless. And lost. Father, tell us. What happened? I need to know. Father would say this. Thundering and lightning on the mountain. And a trumpet blowing. And we had to hide. We were afraid. And we were terrified. Father, what else? Did you die? Did the people die? We thought we would. We thought we would all succumb to the wrath of God. Do you know what that is, people? When God set you still, when the gospel, true gospel is being preached, and the law thunders in your soul, and you become afraid, are you afraid now? Be of good cheer. The trumpet is blowing on Mount Sinai. And it's not to make you afraid, but it's to make you aware. Well, so many people don't want to talk about the law. And God says, no, come. I show you a wonder. No, you can't approach to me. But one can. Moses will approach to me. And that's the gospel going on to today. Are you tired? Is sin have dominion in your life? And you hear about judgment of God? That it's not well with you? Hear the trumpet of the gospel. Listen to it. Verse 20 of Exodus chapter 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. Your life is in trouble. Your marriage is broken. Your whole life is testifying of the judgment of God. Maybe even you too, the flashes come in your mind. Maybe you have to go to your knees and say, Lord, God, have mercy on me. I'm a wretch. I'm so miserable. I don't have peace in my heart. And the gospel trumpet says this. Fear not. This is glorious. Because we bring you a gospel that an other will stand in your place. And you have nothing to do. This is the blowing of the trumpets. This is what the apostles went out to do. Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Peter said, fear not, my brothers. Only believe the gospel. The one you killed, he is the Son of God. And you hung him on a tree, but it's purposed. And now repent and believe the gospel. This is the plan of God. And people began to be astounded. And you know what they said? Over Peter. Peter is worse than that. Then Pilate came out. And Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. And we cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And then Pilate went and washed his hands. And he says, this blood be upon you. This innocent blood. But Peter, we also said, well, there we said, his blood be upon us and our children. Peter, we curse our children. And Peter said, fear not. This promise is for you and your children. Only repent and believe the gospel. 3,000 were saved. And now it must go out. Oh, blow the trumpet, says Ezekiel. Go to the corners of the earth and blow the trumpet. Tell the islands, let them shake, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and that he has come to fulfill all the apostles and the disciples. You want me to tell you what they were doing? Do you know what they were doing? In Jerusalem? They were going to the prophets, Isaiah. And they said, oh, this is what Isaiah meant. This is why Joel spoke this. Look, Jeremiah is telling everything that's happening now. Because they were endowed with the Holy Spirit. And then they went out, even through persecution. And who did Peter have to blow the trumpet to? Peter falls into a sleep. The blanket comes down.
Filled
with clean and unclean
animals.
Peter kills, slay, and eat.
Not so, Lord.
Peter. Peter, read. Please read Leviticus
23.
You understand the Passover now, and you understand the sheaves of the first fruit and the Pentecost, but Peter, the blowing of the trumpet must go out to the Gentiles. Not so, Lord.
Peter, the Lord says, what I call clean, call thou not unclean. I will go. Cornelius explains his vision. And what happens? See, we sometimes miss language. But we read something very remarkable. The Lord says to Cornelius this. Cornelius, your offerings and your alms are coming up for a memorial to me.
What was he remembering? He was remembering the Feast of the Trumpets. And that needs to be fulfilled. Blow the trumpet and tell Cornelius about the gospel.
You know why? Because Cornelius, though he was a devout man, religious, giving alms, he didn't have Christ. He didn't know the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he couldn't stay like that. He couldn't die like that. No, the Holy Spirit would be poured out amongst the Gentiles. And now Cornelius says, Peter, tell me. Tell me what you were called to tell me. And Peter was astonished. And Peter said, fear not. For the promise is being fulfilled. That Gentiles will be saved too. Is that you? Is that us? This is the way we can blow the trumpet. But we need to know why the trumpet is being blown and how. Listen carefully in Psalm 81. Let's go to verse 5. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Listen to this. This is the gospel. They were in bondage. Slaves. So are you. So am I. And you're in a strange language.
Not the language of the Pentecost. Not the gospel language. But the bondage language. That the people were bound to the pot. And they cried out to the Lord. You too? See, because this whole story of Egypt tells us a true story about you and me. You can't blow the gospel trumpet of freedom if you don't know what you're involved in. And this is missing in the gospel. We have to tell each other what's wrong. You and me are in bondage and being with each other. And what makes you and I, what makes God to hear? You called me in trouble, and I delivered you. This is the gospel. If Jesus Christ has come in your hearts, you've been forgiven all your sins. Did it not come from a cry of your heart? Lord, have mercy upon me. I cry to you in the midst of trouble. Lord, deliver me. I am under bondage. And I am being whipped each day. In my marriage. In my family. In my culture. I have no peace. And he heard. He hears those who peep like a swallow. And cry out for mercy. And where does he hear them? This is so wondrous. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. Friends, this is it. The answer is at Mount Sinai. The answer is at the law. Because you too have to cry out. I cannot come before this God. God uses his law to convict us. I answered you at the secret place of thunder where I roared upon Mount Sinai. You know what believing is? Yes, Jesus Christ. You know what really is happening when faith takes place? Moses, you go for me. I'm hiding. This thunder I can't handle. This is a jealous God of his own honor. His wrath will consume me. When you believe, when you come to faith, this is really what's taking place. Moses, you go for me. But no longer Moses. You go for me. I can't take the wrath of God. And he hears you in the place of secret place of God. When you bow your head, I'm finished. It's so different than today's gospel. So many people say, when we say, what are we being saved from? The answer is always, I'm being saved from sin. No, you're not being saved from sin. You need to be saved from eternal damnation. Moses, you go for me. And the trumpet was long blowing. Let the people stay. Moses, you come up to me.
is the gospel trumpet.
Moses will do it.
Jesus Christ will do it.
See,
when faith is active in salvation, you are happy. You are at the end of the law. Now maybe you don't understand all of this, and that's okay. But this is the truth. What does Paul say when he's blowing the trumpet? Christ is the end of the law for all who believe. In the only name given under heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. Because the law is continually condemning you. It condemns you today. If you're not in Christ, because you're going to go home today, and you may even pray today. And if you don't have Christ, you're going to say, Lord, forgive me. I haven't done anything right today. And you may even think that He's going to forgive you. But He's not forgiving you because He only can forgive you in Christ. Don't stand up from your prayers and think you have repented and confessed without Christ. He's the end of the law. All who come to faith in Christ alone. What do you have to say? Because you know that if the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, then your prayer is so much different. Then you begin to adore your Savior. You say, Lord, forgive me. In Jesus alone. He's my sacrifice. See on Him. And make me free. Free me from this conscience that's bothering me. And wash and cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, that's a holy reverence to your Savior. And all you'll begin to make use of Him. And when you make use of your Savior, what happens? When we make use of our Savior in the sacrifice, wash me and cleanse me. What happens? An immediate voice comes in your soul. Peace be still. Peace be still. What happens? Oh Lord, I exalt you. I glorify your name. This peace that passes all understanding, I can contain it. Because your love is greater than my hate. And you call so softly and tenderly to my soul. And you make me pass through waters. Through the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Because you are by my side. Because you forgave me all my iniquities. And then you go to Mount Sinai. You go from Mount Sinai, where you hear the gospel trumpet. Because the Lord is not blowing the gospel trumpet to come up to Him at Mount Sinai. You can't. You will die. You can't do the law. Never. Please don't try. But see one who's done it for you. And the trumpet blows. And Moses comes up. And what does the trumpet say? Fear not.
Moses will go.
Moses will go.
So you can go free. Make your way to Mount Zion. And sing aloud. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. This is the trumpet of the gospel. Exactly where you are. Exactly who you are. That's why when the gospel went out to the Gentiles, like it is today, it's not going out to religious folks. It's not going out to church people. In the sense that because they're church people, then they're blessed. Paul and Peter and Silas and Barnabas, they went out under a tree, gathered people together, and began to blow the trumpet. And they went out to the riverside, where women were wont to pray. And they blew the trumpet. Now what do you think they said? Do you really think they came there and said, God is good all the time? They said it was wrong. They told him it was wrong. Listen to Stephen, sir. Did Stephen have a nice, beautiful, fluffy gospel song when he went out to them? He says, ye do always resist the Spirit. You're a stiff-necked people. Circumcise your hearts. This was the preaching of the gospel. Lord, we find it today. I call out to you. This is the gospel that we bring to you. Because the Master asks us. And while we tell you that the law is condemning you, we tell you at the same time the good news of Jesus Christ, who wants to take your place and won't break your own righteousness. I'm not that bad. Yes, you are bad. You're wicked. Me and you are a rebel by nature. And when God hates germs, He's not looking so good for us. Even your best righteousness is filthy rags. Jesus Christ will take your place. That's the trumpet. And God wanted them to remember it. And then He wanted to make that a festival year after year. So that when they said, Papa, what does it mean? That the fathers would say this. We couldn't approach to God. We even built a golden calf. As Mai says to Father, don't tell them that. Don't tell the children that they made a golden calf. But maybe there was a father that said, no, we have to tell the truth. While Moses was on the mount, we built a golden calf. Because we are rebellious people. The Son is not good with us. And it's not good with you either. We're a rebellious people.
Tell them that when they went further on their journey,
and
when he came into the wilderness, we rebelled against God. And God had to, and we said we should have stayed in Egypt. And God made the bitter waters of Marah into sweet water by a stick being thrown into the water. This is the truth.
Is this all right?
Don't think you and I are better. Because maybe you are convicted. Maybe your soul and your conscience is beating. And you're asking for mercy. And God doesn't seem to be giving mercy. Maybe you're hiding the
Holy
God. And maybe you say, I'm convicted, but I need to go further. I don't know him. You know what we need to be convicted of? The waters of
Mara.
Because as long as Christ is not your complete Savior, your only desire is to return to Egypt. This gospel is too difficult. I need to die so that I can live in Christ. But I like the things of my life. I wouldn't mind the gospel, I wouldn't mind the Lord Jesus to save me, but I want to keep my culture. And we want to return to Egypt. God makes the waters of Marah sweet. Again, the waters of life that made me, the bitter waters made sweet. So that they may drink. So that you and I may drink and taste that the God is, that the Lord is merciful, slow to anger, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. This trumpet goes out. And they have to ask. And now in the New Testament, they come into the villages. And there's women at the water side in Macedonia. And they don't know. They want to make prayer, but they've never heard the gospel.
And as Paul preaches the gospel to them, their hearts open and burn with fervor. And they believe the gospel. And a little church begins there. Nowadays we build the church first. And we get a whole bunch of members together. So that the members can all get aid. Can get distribution. And they're all present. All 40 families are present with aid distribution. But the Sunday after, 4 families, 5 families. You know why? Because it has nothing to do with the true gospel. It's not the gospel that this word is. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified. It's not the gospel of the conviction by the law so you may be freed in Christ. But it's a nice, warm, good, feeling, fuzzy, sin-continuing gospel. And as long as you don't touch me where it's going to hurt, then tell me about this nice man who calls himself the Son of God. And tell me nice stories about him. I think I can use him. Just in case when I die and I don't know where I'm going, he can be my the one to speak for me. And he won't speak for you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, cast him into the lake of fire. Because faith did not go from the law of conviction that you're a sinner into the fulfillment of Christ. Where do you see that in Psalm 81? Verse 11. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Do you hear that? A lot of people would say this. They said, then if the Lord is saying, have a feast of the trumpets, but now he's saying they didn't listen to me, they didn't go and walk in my ways, but in their own counsel, then it seems like it's useless. But it's not. This is a mystery. Because that's exactly what you find out when Christ is revealed. And that's why Christ needs to be revealed. You know what has to happen next? Maybe to you. Neither have I desired for you. And we become honest. God is telling us the gospel here, trying to make you and me honest, so that the power of Christ can come in upon you. But these people, they say, no. We did it. We will serve the Lord.
Joshua says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They said, we too will serve the Lord.
And Joshua says, you cannot
serve.
And that's what is being told you in the gospel. Don't think you can serve the Lord. You don't have the power. You have nothing to serve the Lord. Believe me. Now you might say, how is that? The Lord says, serve me. Don't you want someone to do it for you? Christ said, I'll do it for you. I will serve the Lord. That's the prayer of Joshua. And then you know what Christ says?
Yes,
I will do the will of my Father.
Yes.
And then I will call you brothers.
Yes.
In my inheritance.
Yes.
You may receive for nothing.
Yes.
You can't
serve.
I can't serve. All but my Savior served
me.
Perfectly. My Savior served him to death for me. And I crawl deeper and deeper and deeper in the wonder of grace for you too. Not I, but Christ alone. Who took my curse to the cross and make me free. Glory to God. Below this trumpet there is no other name given under heaven and earth whereby we may be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, and so Peter, and all of the other disciples, that's why you have Romans, Ephesians. That's why you have Corinthians. And that's why you have all these letters to sink away in the wonder of free and sovereign grace. Because the gospel will go out to the ends of the world. Malawi too. The trumpet will be blown. And Paul says in Corinthians, until the last trumpet be blown, and Christ shall return. And Revelations has seven letters to the churches, and seven trumpet blows. Have you gone there? Do you understand this? Because today, the gospel is still going out. You may think that Christ is delaying his coming. But he surely is not. Coming soon. And to judge the quick and the dead. And he said, until I return, preach the gospel. Condemnation in men. And life in Christ. That's what Paul preaches. And you may read it. You may read through Romans, where so many people said they had to work for their salvation. Oh no, Moses said we must keep the Ten Commandments. And Paul says in Romans 3, you cannot keep them. But Christ kept them for you. Why should you tarry and deny the Savior for a little bit of trying, a little bit of doing that doesn't succeed? The festival of the trumpets, so closely tied to the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, which we read in Leviticus 23, how that the next festival was the Day of Atonement 10 days later. And this we will speak on next week. But I want you to take this with you. Because maybe we think actually the Day of Atonement should be before that. No, it's not. Why not? The Day of Atonement means this. The day of the proclamation of repentance and faith in Christ. We can preach a gospel, but we need to know where the gospel is centered in. And it's the atonement in Christ. And next week we will hear of the great festival of the Day of Atonement. And in the meantime, I hope you will be meditating upon it, so that the Day of Atonement will be yours to meditate upon. Where they had to afflict their soul. Sanctification.
Mm-hmm.